All right. 39. Senseless and stupid and foolish and ignorant men jeer and mock at us, wishing to exalt themselves in their own imaginations. Who are these senseless, stupid, foolish, ignorant men that are jeering and mocking? It sounds like college freshmen. But wishing to exalt themselves in their own imaginations. These are, remember the historical context here. In Rome, throughout the Roman Empire at this time, the believers have been getting a bad rap. And a lot of false rumors have been spread about the believers. But there's a general sentiment of anti-Semitism throughout the empire that's applied specifically with great hostility and through imperial policy against the believers, who are labeled as the Christian superstition, and an illegal sect or an illegal religion, So Clement says that's senseless, stupid, foolish, and ignorant. But he says, don't worry about this, for what can mortals do to us? What strength does an earthborn creature have? For it is written, there was no form before my eyes. I heard only a breath and a voice. What then? Shall a mortal be clean in the presence of the Lord? And this is an interesting quotation from Job that goes on through to the end of the chapter. I won't read it all to you. But this is, it's Job chapter 4, 16 through chapter 5, 5, with some other passage of Job sandwiched in the middle. And then we're going to move on to chapter 40. Since, therefore, these things are now clear to us, and we have searched into the depths of the divine knowledge, we ought to do, in order, everything that Hashem has commanded us to perform at the appointed times. This is interesting. It's seasonal. Because the word appointed times is moedim, which is the same word that we use, if we translate as festivals, you know, the biblical festivals, God's appointed times. So when Clement uses the word, he's not using it any differently. He's using it in exactly the same sense. Passover, Pentecost, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot. But there's also daily appointed times. There's the times of prayer, the times of sacrifice, Shacharit, Mincha, Mariv. These are also called Moedim. So, and this is exactly the way that Clement's using it. He's using it exact the terminology in the Jewish sense. So here, this becomes, I mean, I used to, spend a lot of time when I was still learning and still trying, like still sort of arguing, still used to, was still arguing with Christian, the prevailing Christian sentiment that, well, you know, the law is done away with and it's not for Christians and, or, you know, Gentile Christians don't, you know, and this sort of thing. And so this chapter, this particular chapter, I thought, you know, this was one of, I felt like, well, this one's, people should read this. Chapter 40, you know. Because here, Clement's writing to the believers in Rome near the end of the first century, and he's talking about keeping the appointed times. It says, we ought to do in order everything that Hashem has commanded us to perform at the appointed times. Psh, there you go. I mean, that's pretty straight to the point. Now, he commanded the offerings and services to be performed diligently and not to be done carelessly or in disorder, but at designated times and seasons. Clement has in mind right now chapters 28 and 29 of the book of Numbers, which are the Musaf sacrifices that are prescribed for each of the appointed times, each of the Moedim. Comes with these specific sacrifices. And they're spelled out in Numbers 28 and 29. That's what he's talking about. And so it's not done, you know, the sacrificial services weren't done carelessly or in disorder. It wasn't like, you know, a guy showed up with a guitar and just felt and said, I just feel like the Spirit's moving me to offer a goat for a burnt offering, you know, or something like this. It was like, it's prescribed. It's done in order, not carelessly or in disorder. It's prescribed both where and by whom he wants them to be performed. He himself has determined by his supreme will, so that all things being done devoutly according to his good pleasure might be acceptable to his will. So where he says both where and by whom he wants them performed. The where is the holy temple in Jerusalem. What is the whom? The whom is the Jewish people through the priesthood. So both where and whom he wants them to be performed, he himself has determined by his supreme will, so that all things being done devoutly according to his good pleasure might be acceptable to his will. All right, so now you've come to the crux of the academic argument for why it's impossible that Clement could have written the book of Hebrews. Because everybody knows that the book of Hebrews writes about the sacrificial system being canceled and abolished, and it's no, you know, it's from the old covenant that's quickly perishing and so on and so forth. And here Clement's talking about it like it's all still good, you know? And so obviously he can't be the same guy. And that's the main argument. Well, my argument is, of course, that we've misunderstood the book of Hebrews, gravely misunderstood the book of Hebrews, if that's the conclusion that we're reaching. I see no conflict between the book of Hebrews and Clement chapter 40. Those, therefore, who make their offerings at the appointed times are acceptable and blessed. For those who follow the instructions of Hashem cannot go wrong. That's what he says. A surprising sentiment, don't you think, from a Christian writer? I mean, this is not what you would be expecting, I don't think. I mean, it's not what you're going to hear. You're not going to hear a Christian writer or a Christian teacher today say something like this. Therefore, those who make their sacrifices, their animal sacrifices, their blood sacrifices at the appointed times are acceptable and blessed. It's not going to be a teaching you're going to run into too often. But Clement's just, you know what? Clement's just reading the Bible. He's just reading the Torah. He says, you follow the instructions of Hashem. You can't go wrong. And, you know, that's what he means. The instructions, when he says the instructions of the Master, the instructions of Hashem, he means the Torah. That is the Torah. That's what the Torah is. Torah means instruction. Mm-hmm. For to the high priest, the proper services have been given. To the priest, the proper office has been assigned. And upon the Levites, the proper ministries have been imposed. And the layman is bound by the layman's rules. So he gave us four categories of Israelite here, right? High priest, priest, Levite, layman. They all have their job. They all have their obligation. Everybody has a role to play in the sacrificial services. So what's his point here? The point is very simple. Clement is using this in the same sense that he was speaking of the Roman army, or he's speaking of the human body. One body, many parts, a whole army. Not everybody's in the commander. Not everybody's the emperor. Not everybody's a captain. Not everybody is a general. Everybody has a different role to play. This is the same in the Jewish people. Everybody has a different role to play in this thing. So Clement is distinguishing, he's making these distinctions to show that even according to the Torah, there are various roles and responsibilities for various stations, various people. Now, what's interesting about this, this is not what Clement was doing, but this would also be a perfect chapter for the to argue the one law thing. You know, the people who The people who are staunchly saying there's no difference between Jews and Gentiles. We're exactly the same. Jews are the same as Gentiles. Gentiles are the same as Jews in regard to our obligation to the Torah and so on. Clement chapter 40. Say, it's not like that. The Torah is not, it never was like that. It was never a one size fits all. It's always had distinctions, even within the Jewish people. So he goes on in chapter 41. Let each of you, brothers, in his proper order, give thanks to God, maintaining a good conscience, not overstepping the designated rule of his ministry, but acting with reverence. So not overstepping the designated rule of his ministry. This is, we're talking boundaries. Right now, Clement's concerned with authority issues. He's concerned with people who have usurped the authority in Corinth. But the lesson applies in different areas as well. He says, not just anywhere, brothers, are the continually daily sacrifices offered, for example. So now we're talking about the Korban Tamid, continual burnt offering. So you can't just bring that. You can just like set that up anywhere. Remember, when Clement's writing, the temple's already been destroyed for 25 years. It's been a quarter of a century since there's been a Korban Tamid, since there's been a continual burnt offering. So his point is, so why isn't there? Why aren't we sacrificing these things? Well, because you can't do that just anywhere. Not just anywhere. Can you make the sacrifice or the free will offering or the offerings for sin and trespass, but only in Jerusalem? And even there, the offering is not made in every place, but only in front of the sanctuary at the altar. The offering priest, having been first inspected for blemishes by the high priest, and the previously mentioned ministers. Those, therefore, who do anything contrary to the duty imposed by his will receive the death penalty. What is that? Well, there's a passage. I think I maybe put it on your sheet here even. Yeah. Numbers chapter 3, verse 10, where Moses is laying out the various roles and responsibilities of the priests and the Levites. And he's saying, you Levites, your family is going to carry this stuff and your family is going to do that. And you guys set this up and you guys set that up. And the priest, this is the priest that's going to be in charge of your family. And this is the priest that's going to be in charge of your family. So he's laying out these boundaries for the priests and the Levites. And then he says in Numbers 3:10, so you shall appoint Aaron and his sons that they may keep their priesthood. But the layman who comes near shall be put to death. Wow. What does that mean? Well, it means if you walked into the temple in a place that you're not supposed to be, you're to be put to death. So, you know that song, Take Me Into the Holy of Holies?
Yeah.
No. Yeah, that's the point, though, is that, that's Hashem's temple. The temple is in your midst. It's a serious thing. The presence of God in your midst is serious. How serious is it? So serious that the person who violates, who crosses the boundary, who takes upon himself, there's a story of King Uzziah thought, King Uzziah says to himself one day, King Uzziah is reading the Torah and it says here there's one law. One law for everyone. And so he says, I'm going to burn incense. Goes into the temple to burn incense. The priests are like, Uzziah, my lord the king, get out of here. You're not supposed to be in here. You're not supposed to be in here. And he's like, no, I can be in here. And boom, he's hit with leprosy. Immediately, leprosy spreads across his body. And they rush him out because he's unclean and defiling the temple as well. Lives the rest of his life as a leper. And he was a good king. Uzziah was a very good king. He wasn't a bad king. He was one of the good ones. In fact, Isaiah was a big fan of Uzziah. We don't have Isaiah's book of Uzziah. That would be nice. But Isaiah wrote a chronicle of King Uzziah and all of his deeds and his lifetime. That, and this is before Isaiah was a prophet that he wrote this book. Because it's in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And that's when he received his commissioning to be a prophet. Yeah, so unfortunately we didn't get the Uzziah Chronicle, but he was a good king. He overstepped the boundary. Even the king has boundaries. So he says, "You see, brothers," in verse 4 here of chapter 41, "as we have been considered worthy of greater knowledge, so much the more are we exposed to danger." And the meaning here is in regard to the tabernacle, the temple. It was a fabulous thing to have Hashem as your next door neighbor. You know, it's like amazing. You mean God's going to dwell in the midst of our camp? That's fabulous. You know, I mean, imagine this. The creator of the universe is, yeah, that's his place right there. You know, I mean, I get all charged up in that I can, when people come to my neighborhood, I can point out to them the house that Bob Dylan recorded his first recordings in. That's like just down the block from me and across the street. You know, it's, I'm like, so every time I'm like, hey, check out this house, right? So imagine if it's like, oh, and that's Hashem's house right there. No, he really lives there. You know, this is the great revelation that Israel was enjoying was, you know, what a privilege that God will dwell with his people. But with his privilege came this great responsibility. How great was the responsibility? This danger was so great that if you trespassed, you know, when you trespass, you cross the boundary where you don't belong. You're to be put to death. It's a death sentence. It's like, well, I just need more of you, Hashem. Well, you know, Nadab and Abihu felt the same, you know. So trespassing. I was up north this last week with the girls, and we were I wanted to take them down to the lake. I said, now, I think this might be private property. So we're going, and pretty soon there was a sign, no trespassing. Dang. You know, and I thought, I have never seen a sign that says trespassing. You know, they always say no trespassing. Why doesn't anyone have a trespass, you know, when you're allowed to trespass, why isn't there a sign that says trespassing or trespassing allowed? Yeah, I guess. Anyway, Clement is saying no trespassing. Well, why is he even talking about this, though? What does this have to do with believers living in Corinth who are nowhere near Jerusalem? Most of them are Gentiles and couldn't go to the temple anyway, even if there was a temple and there hasn't been one for 25 years. So what's his point? Well, he's using this as an analogy that he's going to bring to bear on the current situation of upset and disruption in the Corinthian congregation. He's going to say, look, you're out of order. You've been trespassing. This recent change in leadership, this schism, this congregational split is trespassing. So he says, you see, brothers, as we have been considered worthy of greater knowledge, so much more we are exposed to danger, which is reminds me of the master's saying, which I summarize on your sheet, that's with revelation comes responsibility. You know, people always ask, well, what about, you know, the people who never had the opportunity to hear the gospel or something like that? Grew up in a different religion or something like that. But I think this principle that Clement is giving us applies to all those sorts of questions. With revelation comes responsibility. As the master says, the one who did not know it and committed deeds worthy of a flogging will receive but a few. So you receive a few. You still get flogged. But you only receive a few. From everyone who has been given much, much will be required. And to whom they entrusted much of him, they will ask all the more. So the one who did know and committed deeds worthy of a flogging will receive many blows, he says in the same passage. And so his principle, to everyone who is given much as required, is precisely what Clement is alluding to here, this beautiful sentiment. You see, brothers, we've been considered worthy of greater knowledge. So much more are we exposed to danger, because with that knowledge comes greater responsibility. All right, any questions or thoughts on those chapters? All right, pretty cool stuff, though, don't you think? It's good stuff. I like Clement.